Hello again, students. This is Reverend Calhoun. We're going to continue our study on the spirit of honor, this being class number 3. And we're going to be continuing in our book. So you should have gotten, I noticed they posted a PDF of Tudor Bismarck's book, The Spirit of Honor. So if you don't have a hard copy, which just to kind of give you, show you how it looks, I showed you the first class, but this is the actual book. You should have a PDF of it on the Ever Increasing Word Training Center website so you can follow along. Amen. All right, we're going to start off with a word of prayer and we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We thank you, Lord God, for each and every student. And I trust, Lord God, that they're getting the instructional information they need on how to operate in the spirit of honor so that, Lord God, that they can properly honor our apostle, Lord God, and receive the benefits and the blessings from his teaching and from the anointing that's on his life. We thank you for him as a spiritual leader, as an apostolic, prophetic man of God, and for this school, Lord God. And we just trust, Lord God, hallelujah, that everybody receive everything that they need. Praise God in Jesus' name. And Father, as always, if your Holy Spirit doesn't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. So I'm leaning completely and totally upon him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I'm going to just start off with some information that Tudor Bismarck had in his book. He said it is important that we understand the terminologies of what honor is, because when you begin to deal with the structural principles, we will see how there is a lack of honor, reverence, and respect for certain dignitaries in the land, secular, spiritual, and spiritual dignitaries. And I have a side mark here. I remember when President Obama was, the president of the United States, when he was elected into office, there were certain spiritual leaders that never really referred to him as President Obama. They just used the word Obama, you know, actually that was an act of dishonor and disrespect for the office that he held, you know. But what we're aiming to do in this class and this school is to bring people to the level of honor that God had already originally intended for us to walk in through the Word of God. Amen. And I'm going to start giving you a definition again of honor. We gave you a definition last class session, I think, but I just want to go over it again. The word honor comes from the Anglo-French word honneur, O-N-U-R. This word also connotates elevation. It comes from the Latin word honus, H-O-N-O-S. That means honor. First, he said it is one who has earned high esteem or high public esteem. They are people or individuals of high reputation or character. So a person who walks in honor has high esteem, high public esteem. They are also people of high reputation and character. Secondly, these are individuals that have notoriety and recognition because of their accomplishments. Amen. Thirdly, these are individuals that have certain privileges or gifts conferred upon them in lieu of their anointings, their giftings, and their rank. And that's coming from Ephesians 2:20. The word honor also comes from the word honor is also the root word for the word honorarium, okay, especially to those in evangelical circles. The word honorarium comes from the root word honor. And giving you a definition of what the word honorarium is, the word honorarium literally means payment in recognition for one ministering the word, payment for services, one service who service professionally as for ministering the gospel. It also means a fee rendered to professional people for services rendered. So the word honor or the word honorarium comes from the word honor, which is a payment for services rendered. Amen. Uh, Most times you can tell if you are honored by the honorarium that you're given. And I've known times where people ministered and never received an honorarium. I can remember back when I was in college, we had a campus ministry, and we had invited several ministers from the area to minister at that meeting we had. And this one minister, he actually, him and his entourage who came with him, left before I was able to give him his honorarium. And the very next day, I called him up and I said, you know, Pastor so-and-so, I said, you left before we could sow into your life and give you this honorarium. He said, no, that's not. I said, yes, it is necessary. I mean, even back when I was, 19, 20 years old, something on the inside of me knew the importance of sowing into a gift that sowed into you spiritual things, and you need to reciprocate it by sowing into him your carnal things. Amen. I can remember that same organization that I was a part of. We had a reunion after I had graduated, I guess about close to 20 years ago, and we had invited one of the former students who was now an evangelist to come and minister. I guess it was on that Sunday morning, and the organizers, which I was one of them, but most of them wasn't completely in favor of giving this minister an honorarium. They were more interested in giving the singers and the musicians something, you know, an honorarium than him. And we finally agreed upon at least taking all the proceeds and dividing it up between the speaker and the singers. But to kind of top it off, one of the things me and another minister did, we noticed that his vehicle needed some new tires. So I told him, I said, come on, buy you a set of new tires. And the guy who drove the car there, and I trailed him, says, I don't think his brakes are really good. So I'm going to go ahead and have him fix his brakes and give him a new set of brakes. So he ended up, you know, getting, you know, in lieu of everything, a decent honorarium for his travels from Tulsa to the Baton Rouge area. All right. This is something Tudor Bismarck states in his book. He says, as a result, in the world today, we have this crazy, I think it's a crazy, says the author, where individuals go to do ministry, and before they ever get there to the place where they are scheduled to minister, there's a 10 or 12 page contract, because the individuals they are going to minister for don't understand what it means to honor a gift that comes to impart into you and to your ministry. I remember something Apostle said years ago, you want to go where you're celebrated, not tolerated. Amen. So there's, then the Tudor Bismarck goes on to say, there are some people who are so audacious enough not to honor a gift that comes to bless them. Amen. So in various places, people have gone and ministered and done their best, but the people there don't appreciate it by honoring them. It's been reported that people leave a place and receive no financial remuneration or no financial blessing. And that kind of goes similar to what happened in Matthew 13 and 58 with Jesus. Jesus said in his own hometown, he could do no mighty works except heal a few sick people with minor sicknesses and diseases. Just like Jesus could not do any mighty works because of their unbelief, the apostolic and apostles' anointing cannot deliver people from financial bondage who don't embrace the prosperity message and don't sow into the anointing and honor him. You know, that's why it's so very important to show honor to whom honor is due. This is because they did not know how to honor the gift that God had sent. You know, sometimes, like I said last week, people become too familiar with their man of God. And you never want to become too familiar. When I say familiar, not that you know him so much, but until you put yourself on a similar level with him, which is never going to be the case, you know, and it's is just like somebody that you, you know, hang out with and go to a football game with. No, I never want to get familiar in that respect, because I always want to honor. You know, I'll never get close to the President of the United States in most cases, but I'm going to honor and respect him. People of high notoriety and dignity. Amen? All right. An apostolic gift in most cases is not properly honored in their own hometown. This is because of a lack of because of dishonor. Dishonoring an apostolic source has got to change if we want to experience the full blown blessings for our lives that the gift has been sent to release. And this is what the culture of LTMA and Ever Increasing Word Training Center is all about, is showing people how to show the proper respect, knowing the proper protocol. We're going to get into protocol levels and ranks later on, but that's so very important. You know, we're changing the atmosphere. We're changing the climate and the spiritual environment in regards to proper honor the office of the apostle and the fivefold ministry gifts. When there is proper honor shown towards God's government, the fivefold ministry gifts, there is a heaven to earth connection. Well, first off, the portals of heaven, the apostolic opens the portals of heaven so that all who connect properly by honoring and respecting that anointing can enter in. And like I said, there is that heaven to earth connection established, and God will begin to reciprocate his blessing down from heaven to earth to the people, because they can enter into that portal and receive whatever they want from God. Amen. 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, "And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Then he said, Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And you can even include the word apostle, because in the New Testament is when the word apostle comes into view. And it's actually a higher rank than the prophet. He says, so believe his prophets, and you say, and apostles, so shall you prosper. When you believe and act on what the prophetic and apostolic has said, you show honor. And then I have a side note. The people honor the prophetic gift by obeying his voice. That's so very important. When you begin to obey and act on what the prophetic and the apostolic is saying and obey your man of God's instruction, you show honor by that. Amen. When God honors us with his presence, all that God has, all that God can do will show up. Amen. Let me read that again. When God honors us with his presence, all that God has, all that God is, and all that God can do shows up. This is manifested presence of God. It's referred to as the glory. Amen. Now we're going to talk a little bit about the government of God and how God's government has to be set up properly. Amen. God's government is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Matter of fact, I don't have it right here, but let me turn to it right quickly in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. You can turn to it if you have your Bibles. Give me a second here. Okay, Isaiah chapter 9:10. And we're going to be looking at verse 6. It says, now this is the government of God. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And verse 7 says, and the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it. Now, remember that word, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So what this is saying is that the government is upon the shoulders of Jesus. He's He watches over and oversees God's government. Amen. Hallelujah. And with that said, that government is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone who's watching over that government. And that's coming out of Ephesians 2 and 20. And 1 Corinthians 12 and 28 says, and God said in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, diversities of tongues. Amen. When the apostolic and prophetic gifts are being honored properly When the apostolic prophetic gifts are not being honored properly and are not set in place properly in their order of position as apostolic leaders, positioned first to establish a heaven to earth connection, we could not and would not be seeing manifestations and demonstrations that take place that we have seen today. When the apostolic is truly in place, when the apostolic is out of place, I'm sorry, it violates God's government, God's divine order. So God's government has to be set up properly because you don't want to violate divine order. Amen. If God's government is not set up properly, it violates divine order, his protocol. When divine order is restored, the supernatural will not be inhibited, but will be allowed to flow freely from heaven to earth, having no kinks or having that anointing to flow freely down to heaven to earth. Honor is the structure of order. I said that last week. Honor is the structure of honor. God's divine order. When you walk in honor, you will follow divine order and not usurp authority. Usurp authority means step outside of your boundaries and do something that you're not authorized to do, but stay in the confines of government. And it's so very important that we stay in the confines of government, you know, following spiritual protocol. At the church, we have a level of spiritual protocol where we have apostle who's the pastor of the church, but then we have 12 master life bearers who report directly to apostle, who have a certain number of members who are under them. And the protocol is if a member need to either approach pastor or get information to him, now they can approach him after the service before he goes back into his quarters. But in most cases, they contact their spiritual leaders or their master life bearers, who then in turn contact our master vision bearer or whoever we report to, in my case, Dr. Montrell, and then he conveys the information to apostle. That's protocol. You know, that's following divine order. You know, God told Moses, he says, you're taking too much weight on yourself. He said, you need to get you, 12 men or men full of faith, you know, who could oversee certain matters of the congregation of Israel. And you stick with hearing from God and following God's plan for the people. God sets up a system that works properly. As I stated earlier, I said honor is the structure of honor is the structure of order, God's divine order. When we walk in honor, we will follow divine order and not usurp authority and step out of our boundaries, but stay in the confines of government. God in these last days is restoring the church to God's government so that it can function properly. When God's government is functioning properly, the flow of anointing is there. People get healed. People get delivered. I've even seen people who had cardiac arrest get completely restored and nurtured back to complete health, you know, because order and government is established. When God's order which is a major part of God's government, is restored. The supernatural will be uninhibited, because the supernatural will flow freely when divine order is established, unrestricted. All that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do will come on the scene when divine order and God's government is established and functioning properly. And like I said, I've seen that here. I'm not just saying something that I've read in a book, you know, but I've seen instances where people stepped out in faith to do something, but God's government wasn't set up properly. And though they were well-intended, they didn't get the results they were looking for. But in other instances, when God's government, his fivefold ministry gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher are in order, and everybody's functioning in their place, and the portals of heaven are open. See, this honors God, because this is what God designed. This is what God set up. And in these last days, God is bringing that back to fruition so that his government can be established and so that the people can get blessed. Amen. And let's look at something here. Romans 13:2 says, whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted the ordinance or the order of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. You don't want to receive damnation. Let me just read that from the Amplified Bible. It says, therefore, he who resists and sets himself up against the authorities or the apostolic authorities resists what God has appointed and arranged in divine order. That's what the Amplified says. And those who resist will bring down judgment upon themselves, receiving the due penalty due them, both spiritually and naturally, or from natural authorities. When you resist the power and the authority of God, you are resisting divine order, God's authority, which is the ordinance of God. And you receive to yourself damnation, which is the curse, sickness, poverty, no manifestation, no miracles, no deliverance will take place. Amen. But when you when you do not resist, but yield, give the right of way to divine order and submit yourselves to it, which is God's government being properly set up in the church and society, you are submitting yourselves to the ordinances of God or the government and the authorities of God. Now you will receive to yourselves the blessing, which is the reciprocal of damnation or the curse, which is the glory of God manifested, God's manifested presence, all that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do will manifest in your life. That's when you begin to see people walk away from the services healed, people getting out of wheelchairs, people throwing crutches away and canes away, taking off knee braces, like I said, people getting out of their deathbed healed. When God's government is honored, the supernatural power of God flows uninhibited or unrestricted, flowing freely. This happens, as I stated earlier, because of a true heaven to earth connection has been established and the portals of heaven are open, and all that connect properly can enter in and receive all that they need from God. Amen. And one of the things I want to add, if you know, I know you're in the School of Ministry or the Ever Increasing Word Training Center, but if you're not a part of LTMA, I would encourage you to get hooked up to LTMA and attend as many of the conferences. Right now we have a Money Coming to You demonstrator conference going on. It's going to continue this Sunday. You know, try to get into these meetings and try to physically get into the meeting if you can. You know, if you're in traveling distance, try to do everything you can in your power to get there, because a lot of things can be taught, but some things have to be caught. And when you're in that environment, you can catch what the Spirit of God is doing. Amen. And it'll change your life. Amen. Glory to God. All right. 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18 says, let the elders that rule well be worthy of double honor, especially them that labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth the corn, for the laborer is worthy of his reward. One of the things the author says, and I agree with him, but I know Apostle and everything that we're doing here at Word of Life Christian Center through LTMA, through the School of Ministry, we're changing the culture. He says that there's a culture that has developed, especially in the American church, where contracts precede ministry presentation. Instead of there being reciprocation, presentation of gifts given and impartation release, where people are sowing into a gift, now you have an entire business contract where there's very little impartation and no honor being displayed to God's fivefold ministry gifts. We're changing that. We're changing it here. You know, that's in the book, and the book is, I guess, about 15, 20 years old, but that culture is being changed. Okay. Listen up. This is important that you know this. Honor is reciprocation in terms of how the anointing is received and how the people act on what has been released. I'm going to repeat that. Honor is reciprocation in terms of how the anointing is received from the people and how the people then act on what has been released. Amen. In ministry, there needs to be reciprocation, where the people are sowing into a gift and receiving impartation instead of business contracts with no impartation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you honor a gift properly, the apostolic gift God has placed in your life, you will receive blessings, benefits, favors, and the anointing that's on that gift. Impartation should take place. Mantles and blessings should be released. And actually, this is the whole concept of what a spiritual father is supposed to do. I'm going to talk a little bit about spiritual fathering. The whole concept of a spiritual father, Elijah was a spiritual father to Elijah. And because Elijah honored his man of God, Elisha, by serving and waiting upon him and staying by his side as an armor bearer, he received a double portion transfer of the impartation on Elijah's, and Elijah's mantle fell upon him. And in Elijah's lifetime, he performed twice as many miracles as Elijah because he had a double portion of Elijah's anointing. Why? Because he served properly. He recognized who his spiritual father was. And when Elijah says, you know, I'm going to Bethel and various places. And he says, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, he says, I'm not going to leave you. And then his father, Elijah, said, oh, I'm going to be leaving you. And ask me what you want. And he said, but you're going to have to see me when I go up. If you don't see me, you're not going to get what you request. And so he kept his eyes on Elijah. And by doing so, he received that double portion of Elijah's anointing. Sons must realize that the hands of the father releases the blessings to them. Furthermore, sons must honor, respect, and acknowledge that the father has been empowered to impart and convey the blessing they need. I'm going to read that again. Sons and daughters also must realize that the hands of the father releases the blessing to them. Furthermore, sons must honor and respect and acknowledge that the father has been empowered to impart and convey the blessing they need. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, for though we have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet we have not many fathers. For in Christ, Jesus, have I begotten thee, you through the gospel. That's what Paul said. He says, I'm your spiritual father. He said, though you may have 10,000 instructors, you have not many fathers. And that's something I learned years ago when God showed me that Apostle Thompson was my spiritual father. And he was the one that put vision in me. He was the one that set me on the course that God had, you know, previously planned for me, and actually put fire under my feet to accomplish what God's called me to do. And you never want to leave your spiritual father. You always want to stay in close proximity, stay in honor, because as I stated, and I'm going to read it again, and we're going to move on. Sons must realize, sons and daughters must realize that the hands of the Father releases the blessing to them. Furthermore, sons must honor and respect and acknowledge that the Father has been sent to empower and to import and convey the blessing that they need. Amen. All right. Here's something else in that same line of reference. In the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, and if I'm not mistaken, this is probably the last set of scriptures in the Old Testament. The prophet Malachi said, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, who was an apostolic source, before the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So here in this prophetic word, he says, you know, "Behold, I'm sending you Elijah, the prophet." And what he was talking about was more of the spirit that was on Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord come. And that spirit of Elijah will cause the fathers hearts to be turned towards their spiritual children, and the hearts of the children turned towards their spiritual fathers. There's a verse of scripture in Luke that complements that. Luke 1 and 17 says, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah." And I think he's talking about an apostolic anointing, an apostolic source here. "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and make ready a people prepared for the Lord." You know, and I believe our apostle has that spirit upon his life, you know, where he's turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, you know, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, you know, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And he's making a people ready for the Lord. Amen. In these last days that we are in, God has sent that spirit, according to Luke 1:17, back upon the earth to turn the hearts of sons and daughters from bastard type fatherless ministries to a heart of their God-given spiritual fathers, their apostolic source, so that they might receive the importation of a double portion anointing and blessings upon their lives. Amen. So we're seeing that taking place in these last days. That's why ministers and ministries that's connecting properly are receiving blessings. Their congregation are being blessed. Their ministry is flourishing because they're getting in, and we'll talk about this next class session, they're getting in the divine order. You know, every pastor needs to have an apostle that they submit to. You know, it's, you know, just being a pastor alone is not enough. You have to have somebody to speak and impart into your life, and somebody that you can honor. Amen. Listen up. This is important. Ministry gifts need to respect and honor. I'm sorry. Ministry gifts needs to be respected and honored so that the revelation and the importation can be released. Honoring the gift that God sent you will release the Father's blessing in your life. One more time. Ministry gifts need to be respected and honored so that the revelation and importation can be released. Honor the gift that God has sent you will release the blessing of the Father upon your life. If people don't honor the gift, the apostolic source, what's on them, the blessing, won't be released to those, and the gift from the gift that God has sent. Amen. And this is why the government of God is so important, and why it is being restored to the church. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on heaven and in earth. God's government will be established and is being restored. know, we're literally seeing in these last days God's kingdom being established on the earth. Amen. And that's so very important. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to read Romans 13, 1. I may not go down to 7, but I'm going to read Romans chapter 13, starting at verse 1. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be exist are ordained of God, are instituted by him. Whoso ever resisted the power or the authority or the order, authorities of God's divine order, resists the order or the ordinances of God, God's order. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For the rulers who are elected officials and appointed officials are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the powers, God's delegated authority? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise in the same. For he, God's delegated authority, that's verse 4, is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, an avenger to execute wrath upon those that do evil. Amen. People don't have problems understanding and submitting to natural law. But when it comes to spiritual law and spiritual authority, sometimes they wink at it and not, you know, not submit to it. But we're getting to the point now that we're submitting to God's divine order. And that's so very important, because order is the structure of honor. When you have order in an organization or an establishment, and everybody's walking in order, in divine order, it's gonna produce honor. Amen. It's gonna produce it. And that's so very important. Listen up. God is a God of order, or divine order. He set up authorities in his government because he wants divine order in his kingdom. Without some form of order, there would be chaos, confusion, and anarchy, which would result in there being dishonor and disrespect in the land for those in authority. One more time. God is a God of order, or divine order. He sets up his government because he wants divine order in his kingdom. Without some form of order, there would be chaos, confusion, anarchy, which will result in there being disorder and disrespect in the land for those in authority. And that's why the word says, wherefore we must need be subject not only for wrath's sake, but for conscience sake, not just because of consequences, but because it is the right thing to do. For this reason, we pay tribute. And also, they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. And then it goes on. I'm going to just read a little bit more. It says, render therefore to all their dues, render to all for their tribute, to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due. That's so very, very important. Let me just go over a few things. Like I said, in ministry, there needs to be reciprocation, where people are sowing into a gift and receiving impartation instead of established business contracts. So there need to be reciprocation in ministry. All right. And I also stated that sons must realize that the hands of the father releases the blessing to them. Sons must respect and honor the father, that has been sent and empowered to convey and transfer the impartation that they need. Amen. We talked about the spirit of Elijah, and we said verse in Malachi 4:5-6, the last two verses in the Old Testament. He says, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Amen. Ministry gifts needs to be respected and honored so that impartation can be released. Honor the gift that God has sent will release the blessing of God in your life. Amen. And lastly, God sets up authorities because he is a God of order. Without some form of order, there's going to be chaos, confusion, and anarchy, which will result in there being disobedience in the land. And we're setting up God's government, a government of honor, a government of respect to authorities, spiritual authorities, so that that heaven-earth connection is established and the portals are open and all that connect probably can enter in and receive the benefits and the blessings of God. With all that said, my time is up. I'll see you next week. Be blessed. Amen.